This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. One of the best Champions League games ever and City are still in the hunt. It's Thursday the 11th of April. I'm Amos Murphy.
And I'm live, and it's Luke Bardsley.
Live and direct. And this is the City Report podcast.
It's here for Gundogan! It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now... Champions of Europe! Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back, listeners, to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content, of course. As you might be able to tell, and as hinted at in the introduction, we are live and direct, coming from España, currently in an Airbnb in Valencia. And Luke, I believe you've got a few appraisals on my accommodation choices.
You've been fantastic.
There we go, people.
I doubted you, and we have now stayed in three different accommodations, so one in Dublin, one in Madrid, and one in Valencia. Every single one has been a minimum 8.5 out of 10. So if you do need any help on your travel tips...
8.5? I'm saying 10 for all.
I'm sorry, mate, but for a 10, I need breakfast in bed and all sorts.
Well, we've not gone to sleep yet, so we'll see.
But yeah, if you do want to hit anyone up for any travel ideas, Amos Murphy Travel on TikTok, there's a plug for you as
well. There we go, yeah, absolutely. As you can tell, like I said, we are recording live, so you might hear the faint sound of Spanish children playing in the background. Valencia, absolutely beautiful. We're about to go and explore the city, but from first impressions, absolutely wonderful city. But it was Madrid we were in yesterday, and I'll tell you what, for the first part of this episode, we'll review the experience, maybe not delve so much in terms of the tactics, the performance, etc. We'll do that in part two. If you are looking for that sort of immediate reaction, the lads put out a great episode yesterday after full time. It was Adam, it was Andrew, and it was Ollie the Kirsch doing that one. So I guess we'll start off with the experience itself, Madrid as a city. I loved it. I thought it was great.
So did I. Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Before the game, we went... I can never get the pronunciation right. Plaza Mayora? I think that's correct.
I think, yeah, something like that. It's the main square for people who listen at home. It's the main square you see on all the fan sort of videos before the game. It's right in the centre of Madrid. It's got full of bars and restaurants around the side, and it's where... They were doing loads of events, weren't they, for like the tennis as well, which...
Yes, yeah. I saw a great quote. Funnily enough, I think City Extra put it out saying that... There was a Plaza Mayora waiter sort of interviewed, and they said the City fans they don't eat, they just drink, and it was that was kind of the theme, wasn't it, for most of the day.
What wasn't there a butcher selling beer?
Yes.
There was a butcher selling beer.
There was a butcher's with a beer pump, sort of just selling beer. Fantastic place, absolutely fantastic place. And we obviously got to the stadium about an hour or so beforehand. You just jump on the metro and you're there. What did you make of sort of that first viewing of the Bernabeu? Because it's the ground, isn't it, that we kind of grow up thinking alongside Camp Nou, and maybe for non-City supporters, Old Trafford is in that sort of that bracket of the biggest and the best stadiums in world football. What did you make of it sort of just when you came out of the station and you saw it in all its glory?
It's insane. I mean, as soon as you come out of the metro station, you're literally, it's right in front of you. And I mean right. And it's so big. Like, I've been outside, I've been lucky enough to be outside sort of the biggest.
Yeah.
Sort of stadiums in European football, if not world football, and that was just spectacular. Like, the steepness of it, it was just grand. I didn't expect it to be as it was on the outside, because obviously being in the city, obviously...
It looked a bit like a printer, didn't it?
Yes,
like
it did.
Or a bedpan, I think I've seen someone describe it as. Yeah, it wasn't... Today, when we got into Valencia, we went over to the Mestalla, and that's an absolutely sensational, beautiful stadium, both inside and out. On the outside of the Bernabeu, though, you could miss it, couldn't you? You don't necessarily see it as a stadium.
It lacks a bit of character for me as well, but that's just because of all the recent... They basically just built it up, haven't they, and just made it into an arena. It's not a football stadium, is it? It's a complete arena, and as soon as you kind of saw it outside, you sort of... you got a feel for how big an occasion it was, really.
Yeah, I think the whole day had that, didn't it? You saw, obviously, in the square, and you can tell football in Spain's it's like, I don't know, it's an institution, really, isn't it? Real Madrid are obviously an institution; they're not just a football club. They stand for, ironically, they stand for so much more, which is the motto of Barcelona, the rivals. But going into the stadium, what did you make it? It was a bit of a faff.
It was very cramped. Once we kind of just got sort of tunneled into one place.
Yeah,
And then you had four checks to get in, I believe. Four security checks.
Yeah.
And it was very much, it was like a staggered response. So they let some go through to be searched, and then some held back. But at the time that we went, just like an hour before kickoff, it was getting very busy, and it looked a bit sort of... You were just a bit penned in, weren't you, right into the middle?
Really. They don't really treat football supporters with the greatest deal of respect, do they, the Spanish authorities? I think that's fairly well known.
It's fairly well known. And the way, so, and then prior to that as well, they were sort of trying to cordon people off from the square pre-game as well. Luckily, we didn't, we kind of escaped the cordon, so we was able to do our own thing pre-kickoff. But for fans that got there, who got tunneled in 3 hours before, there wasn't a lot to do really at the stadium, was there?
No, it's in a weird part of town as well. You'd imagine sort of biggest football club in the world, really, aren't they? Real Madrid. Around in and around the ground, there'd be plenty of bars and stuff like that. But no, it's a little bit like a business district. So, yeah, it's a bit weird, but fantastic nonetheless. And you go inside, and I think that's really when the magic comes alive, doesn't it? Your first sighting of the pitch is like, oh my god, it takes you back to being a child a little bit.
It does.
It sounds silly, but it was a little bit magical.
And the way it was as well, obviously being in the corner and being right up in the gods, we had perfect viewing of the whole stadium. Like, you couldn't miss any of it.
Yeah.
And it felt like a big night. And then obviously they unveiled the TIFO as well, pre-kickoff.
The full ground TIFO, that was incredible.
That was great. And the atmosphere was kind of booming. Obviously it did help having the roof shut in the end, really, because the sound just echoed around. A bit like how White Hart Lane's...
I wanted to move on to that, because there was obviously a faff before kickoff surrounding the roof, and I found it weird that Real Madrid had to ask UEFA if they were allowed to shut their own stadium roof. I mean, a bit bizarre, but did you think it helped? I'm trying to think back to it now. It was there's been quite a few beers consumed since the game itself, so I can't remember properly, but I don't remember it sort of blowing me away. I don't know if that's because we were in sort of in the top tier and their most vocal supporters were down the opposite end behind the goal, but It was good, but it wasn't necessarily, wow, Jesus, this is terrifying sort of thing. It
wasn't the best atmosphere I've been in. I think that's the best way to kind of word it. It was great, but not the best atmosphere I've ever sort of been in. And it was hard to out-sing them as well. We've obviously, sound and heavy rises, doesn't it? And we're right at the top, so there's nothing for us to... Obviously, when the goals went in, we were able to sort of out-sing them a little bit. And I know a few people said in the group chat, didn't they, that they could hear us loud and clear after the goals.
Very good.
But sort of before then, we were kind of fighting a losing battle. It was very, very sort of premeditated from Real Madrid with the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's manufactured.
It is manufactured. Yeah, there's nothing natural about it.
No, I was lucky enough to go to Bayern Munich for the quarterfinal last year, and I'd say that was times 10 the atmosphere. Same sort of capacity, if not a little bit less, in the Allianz Arena. And they make noise, and the whole stadium makes noise. And it is hard to get your voice across there, even when you are sort of up and you're winning and you're scoring goals. But yeah, I mean, overall, fantastic sort of, apart from the football, which we'll get to, and I think that does play into it as well, but fantastic sort of day or so, I guess.
It's one to tick off the list to anyone.
Yeah.
Got to tick it off the list. I was really looking forward to it before. Mm. You've got to, just, to say you've been to the Bernabeu and to say you've seen your team play at the Bernabeu is next level. Even if you're not even able to see your team, just to experience it, I'd recommend it to anyone.
And it felt a little bit like a communal visit, didn't it? You've seen people you knew all over.
Oh,
and
every content creator was there.
Everybody was out.
Big Steve was there. You had Big Talk MC.
Grande Siri. Steve.
Grande
in
Steve.
Spanish.
You had all the City Extra lads who were there as well.
Yeah, Jordi and Ollie. Formerly of this parish, of course. Ollie Lowe. Mm-hmm. Hugh Murray was out there. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Anything else to add, Dylan, do you reckon, before part one? Before we finish part one? Yeah, like you say, just a bucket list experience and wonderful stuff.
I thought City fans were good as well. Just to mention on the atmosphere, I thought we were good throughout. It was very... it kind of died down after the full-time whistle, just because of sort of how the way the game ended, I think, really affected it. I know what you said, if we'd have probably made it 3-3, they'd have been buzzing all night. But
yeah, that's the only sort of thing I was thinking, oh, it would have made it much better if City had equalised to make it 3-3 as opposed to sort of conceding it. It didn't feel like a loss at all. It was quite, we'll get on to football, like I said, but it was quite a relief to hold on at 3-3. But yeah, absolutely wonderful, fantastic experience. And City still have it in their hands. And we'll speak about that in part two. So listeners, stay exactly where you are.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. Out here in Valencia, reacting to Manchester City's draw, I nearly said win, God, getting ahead of myself, against Real Madrid in the Champions League quarter-final. Like I said, Andrew, Ollie and host Adam did the match day review, so if you haven't already, go back and listen to that. We'll pick up the pieces, but I just wanted to speak about generally the thoughts and feelings after that result, because I think a lot of us said going into the game it was probably more important for City to not lose, i.e. draw, than it would have been for them to get a result and get a win. They did have a win in the hands twice and let it go. Was there any frustrations, do you think, about the result itself?
No, the result was perfect. Exactly. We said pre-game, didn't we? Anything within a goal and you're happy. Yeah, alone coming away with a draw and we're leading. And we played them a lot, most part of the game, really.
Yeah.
And we weren't especially great. We had a lot of quality with the goals, don't get me wrong. But in the general sort of build-up play, especially in the first half...
Sloppy.
We were a bit sloppy.
Is that turned into a concern, do you think? Because we'll get to the defending and look, I don't know if City could have done a great deal for some of them goals. It's one worldie from Valverde and then a couple of scrappy, obviously, deflections for the Camavinga one and a decent finish from Rodrigo. But just that entire sort of build-up play, I don't know if it's fatigue, if it's the fact of that City are physically and mentally spent from the last, God, 18 months of football, you know, treble hangover and all of that. But I don't know, it just felt like the last couple of games we've seen, let's call him out, Rodri, who got best player in the world shouts against Aston Villa and a Palace game and Real Madrid now as well. He's just a bit careless.
Still best in the world,
though. Absolutely.
He's still completely the best player in the world, in my opinion. But I understand the points where obviously he is misplacing a lot of passes, but he's still not playing bad. Like he's, his retaining of the possession, his ability to read
his
the
bad
game.
Games, a lot of plays, best game in the life.
Yeah, his quality, it's great to watch. But and he has that sort of magic spark, doesn't he, where he can turn water into wine, really. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, high praise,
Well, it's what he does, and we've seen him do it for years now. So I don't think he's a massive major concern that he's misplacing five or six passes here and there. Obviously, he is playing in the six, and when you're playing in the six, if you misplace a pass, you're probably going to
concede a chance,
which is always a problem, really. But I wouldn't say it's a big sort of worry. I really want to talk about the shifting mentality between the great Real Madrid and the underdogs Man City, where they came for the draw. They were happy with the draw as well.
I think they were cacking themselves a little bit. And, we sit here and we say, yeah, great result for City, but on the other hand, you could maybe look at that and say Real Madrid were fearing a battering, and they're still in the game. It could have been easy for City to come away and blow Real Madrid. It sounds crazy saying it, but we've seen it happen last season, obviously, at the Etihad Stadium. But yeah, I think it sets it up perfectly. Had this game been at home and City had drawn 3-3 after leading twice, that's probably when you're starting to get a different conclusion. But the fact that they went away from home, first leg, drew, absolutely fantastic. Let's take it back to the beginning, Bernardo Silva. Now, I only saw this on watching it on retrospect. He meant that. I thought it was a deflected shot, but absolutely, I genuinely, at the time, I thought it had taken a deflection off the wall or something like that, but less than 2 minutes into the game, what a moment of ingenuity.
It was tricky for us to see as well because of the net.
So that was why.
Yeah, maybe it was a massive net put up. So for a third of the pitch, we couldn't really see a lot. We were looking through netting. But I saw that he did intend to do it. But he just caught us all by surprise because the way that Lunin sort of palmed it into the side of the net.
Poor goalkeeper.
But it looked like he might have. I mean, position wise, he's got to be switched on there. Bernardo Silva is not the he's not the sweetest striker of the ball, is he? He doesn't strike a ball like Ivan Toney. He'll just hit it and it'll stay hit. Whereas with Bernardo, he more sort of caresses it. And the fact that he was able to beat him from, 25 yards out, 30 yards out, on a quick thinking, you've got to put blame on the goalkeeper for me. But what a genius little play to get us ahead in the early stages.
Jack Grealish winning the foul as well, and I think we saw how crucial he has been for City in the last couple of games. And again, he doesn't pick up an assist, but that just sort of that control and the ability to draw fouls, as we said, create set pieces, they create chances. It was fantastic. Again, I've only realised this after watching it, the highlights, but I didn't realise how quickly Real Madrid came back. It felt like time sort of was a little bit of a concept in that game itself. And 15 minutes in, it's game flipped on its head, really, isn't it? Real Madrid leading, and then suddenly you're thinking, oh my God, it's happening again. But yeah, talk us through those two goals. What did you make of them?
I mean, to give you your praise, you nailed it. And I don't know if you remember talking to me about it, but
probably not.
You turned to me sort of like 5-10 minutes in after obviously the first goal, and you said, "This is a dangerous place here where they score one, they will score two,
and they
absolutely got it spot on." And it was obviously counter attacking goals. That's what they were set up to do. That's why we're playing two sort of usual traditional wingers up front. Yeah. That's how they wanted to play in Champions League. And it worked for him. To be fair, it was a deflected goal. It was a luck thing. Yeah. But the second one was great from Rodrigo. I thought a great run.
Yeah, you can't compensate for that, really, can you? Against Real Madrid, the fact that stadium, this competition, they just have some sort of juju
aura.
Yeah, it's also that they just have the things that go the way. And maybe that is the fact that they're 14-time champions, biggest club in the world. They've got their prestige and they've got their heritage. But, you know, City don't get that kind of luck. Liverpool, well, maybe sometimes, don't tend to get that type of luck. Man United, you know, it just seems to be that club who get a deflected goal and then suddenly the game flips on its head. Obviously, 2021-22 is the best example of that, where City were pretty much in Paris booking the tickets and then suddenly they're out of the competition. The game did flip, but do you think there's any fears of City again giving away easy chances? I know Stefan Ortega was the call in goal, and my two cents, really, if your best goalkeeper's available, fit and ready, you play him. I'm not necessarily blaming him for any of the goals, but I don't know. Were you surprised to see him start?
No, I thought he was going to keep the rhythm going. I know what Pep sometimes
do. Do you need rhythm? I know the guys on the preview show spoke about this, so we're just reiterating, but a goalkeeper's probably the position that you least need rhythm. I know you've got to be in the zone and it's a mental thing more than anything, but Edison's used to being out of a game and then having to be, you know, called upon in an instant, basically. So I don't know if that carries over.
I think it's only with Edison. You're thinking very linear. This is how the traditional goalkeeper works, whereas we don't have a goalkeeper. We have an 11th man of the team who is instrumental in every single part of phase of our play.
Yeah, exactly. And I find it weird to take the best player who does that, but
it's one of them. If he's rusty, if he's not playing, if he's misplacing his passes, and I can see why he obviously did it. Maybe he thought he needed another week to sort of sit down, and then he'll come back for the second leg, which is probably going to be the most important game of the season so far.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a problem with starting Ortega. Ortega's a fantastic goalkeeper. We've said it before, we'd probably walk into 14, 15 of the sides in the Premier League, in my opinion.
And he
didn't really make a mistake, as far as I'm aware.
It's not a mistake, it's not a howler. You're never going to get a howler with Stefan Ortega where he lets one go through his legs or he palms it away and it goes into the top corner. It's just, I don't necessarily think you see it all the time, but like you said before, Edison's so instrumental to City's build-up play, and I think that's maybe where he lacks a little... Well, we know he lacks a little bit there, but that's where City lack a little bit when he's in the team. Just that ability to bypass a press. And I know Erling Haaland's taken a little bit of stick, and I think maybe getting the best distributor from the back in the team could be helpful to his game. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see in part two of this fixture. But yeah, first half, it was... It was an exhilarating half, but it was a bit of a frustrating one for City.
Yeah, it was like a basketball game, wasn't it? It was like pinball. I know you sort of expected it, obviously. Mm. After the disappointment of the Arsenal fans for the neutrals, this was a neutral spectacle where both teams wanted to attack and win in the end. Albeit theirs was more of a...
Was that the right approach from City and Guardiola to go out? I know Adam said this, it wasn't a City performance or a setup or a show, and I think the players potentially, had the control of the game that we could be used to. But especially in the first half, it switched a little bit in the second half when City were chasing the game. But it just felt like it just felt like there was a bit of chaos, and maybe sometimes you need that.
Maybe that was the tactic after the Arsenal game, where it was boring. We had three shots on the target and one shot on target, three all game, and nothing really happened. Maybe Pep thought, you know what, let's spice it up a bit. Mm. Let's try and attack. We've got the best attack in the world. Let's match them number
Arsenal,
for number.
Arsenal, and I'm going back to it again, it's living rent free in my head, but Arsenal didn't want to play, whereas Real Madrid had to play. That was the difference there.
Yeah, but we've had plenty of jokes about the Arsenal as well. Listeners will be happy to hear, but Amos is living down his comments definitely day by day.
But Mikel Arteta, you will pay for your crimes against football.
But it's more just a case of I mean, look at the result in the day. That's all that matters. Mm. We very nearly won the game. We probably deserved to win the game, in my opinion.
Interesting.
And we came away with a 3-3 draw with it all to play for at our place, where we're going to go to a place where we very rarely lose, very rarely get outplayed. Mm. And the fact that we turned up on their biggest stage and took the game to them really shows a statement of intent, in my opinion. Mm.
Famous last words. I totally agree. It sets it up nicely. And part of that was the second half, of course, with the two genuinely wonder goals. I don't think I've celebrated a goal quite like that. Ended up flying downstairs.
You're writing headlines.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ended up flying downstairs.
We need to plug a video to see it. It's in the MCFC lads, isn't it? It's in Luke's video. Yeah. If you've not seen it yet, go and look at his vlog where...
I will say, I did end up on the floor, I think, for both of those goals. But one of them, I think, I'm pretty sure I was tripped up by someone behind me. And then next thing I know, I'm face up and staring at the beautiful Bernabeu roof. But Phil Foden, I mean, he continues to prove himself as an absolute gem. And not that we needed to know it, but I felt like it was important that he got it on that kind of stage to just show, whilst the world is watching, this is me, this is my season.
Yeah, he's growing into one of the best players in the world currently, isn't he? Mm. He's growing into that role. He's doing it on the big stages consistently now, and Jesus Christ, he can strike a ball, can't he?
He can.
It looked like it came out of nowhere as well. I don't know what it's on from people watching at home, but in the ground, it didn't feel like he was going to strike it and curl it top in at all.
I think that's something he's improved at massively. We spoke about his finishing and at the start of the season, and harking back to the Champions League final, what would have probably been one of the best Champions League final goals of all time on the half turn to secure City the win. As we know, it didn't really matter, but his finishing has improved tenfold, but also his striking of the ball. I think it's been a bit timid at times in the past, but he almost takes it. I think this is something Jack Grealish could learn from, actually. He takes his shots early where the defenders don't get a chance to close him down. They don't get opportunities to come out and press him. Jack Grealish, I think he had a chance sort of just after City took the lead where he could have hit it first time. He took a touch and then the block comes in. But absolute wonder goal. We know he can do that. We don't know Josko Gvardiol can do what he did. And I think that was, if the first one was sensational, this one was just absolutely bonkers.
He's king in it at the moment, yeah. Josko. He's just outperforming everybody. Yeah, consistently. Like the last three games, he's just been superb. Bearing in mind that he's playing a bit of a sort of a hybrid role, do you want to call it?
Where probably, yeah.
It's the non-traditional sort of role where he's playing as like a left-sided centre mid wing back CDM.
Yeah, and just, all of the above.
Yeah, and having to sort of push forward. And it's what I certainly said on this podcast after, I think it was after the Arsenal game, where he looked a little bit scared when he got the ball further forward, him and Akanji.
Yeah.
It looked completely opposite. He looked like he had a man on a mission, which is always great to see. As soon as he got the ball, he looked like he was striving forward, and to have the courage and the sort of the bravery to hit that on his weak foot.
The Bernabeu at 2-2, it was absolutely incredible.
And it did.
Like a traction engine, to quote Alan Partridge, was that?
I think it was Alan Partridge. Yeah,
sounds about right. Absolutely sensational. I just think, you know, to finish off, obviously the Valverde goal was equally as good, but both in terms of the experiences we spoke about in part one, but also the actual game itself, just a complete, incredible 90 minutes of football.
It was, it was, I suppose, what the Champions League was built to be. It lived up to its name,
didn't it?
Worth the money, I think, from us coming over here. I know we've spent a fair bit to come over, but worth every penny for me. What a game of football to watch, and to witness it live is something that you just won't forget, will you?
Frustrating. City weren't the team. If there was going to be a draw, it wasn't City getting the equaliser, because I think we'd have been coming on here bouncing. But at the same time, it will sort of try and inspire them a little bit, I guess. It will make them want to sort of, you know, pick themselves up into the second leg. They've got that little bit of hurt, tiny bit of hurt, although I think the squad will be quietly buzzing with that result. Quickly to finish off then, in the other Champions League game that night, Arsenal, our good friends from North London, they drew 2-2 with Bayern Munich. Obviously this is relevant because not only it's a Premier League title contender as well, but it's on City's half of the draw, so should they progress next week against Real Madrid, they'll play one of Bayern Munich or Arsenal. Who do you fancy? Because I think we don't want to go too far ahead. We're not saying City are going to beat Real Madrid and that's done and dusted. But you kind of have to look at it with one eye, keep an eye on it. What did you, firstly, I know you obviously didn't watch the game, but what have you made of the goals and the way they played? And also, who would you prefer?
Yeah, I watched the highlights this morning, and lucky Arsenal is what I want to say. I know people.
Hey, we've converted him.
It was
the Mikel Arteta hate club has got a new member.
I am baffled by how that isn't a penalty. Bearing in mind the way someone's explained it perfectly.
For Saka?
For the Bayern Munich. Ryan's passed it to Gabriel. Yeah, he's picked it, used his hand. It's a penalty. And also, if you think about it, for any cricket sort of lovers, and last year Johnny Bairstow had a very unusual sort of run out stumping, which was, but in the laws of the game, out.
Yeah.
Even though morally it probably wasn't the right decision. Yeah. Whereas this is exactly the same situation. But how are VAR not looking at that and going penalty? Yeah, when it's mental. Mad. And then nice to see Leroy Sané, obviously ex-Blue, with a
belting run on it.
Jesus, yeah. When he gets going, he's got quick feet and he's hard to stop. Yeah. And
Harry Kane goal
as well, where he's great at taking penalties, isn't he?
There's a certain World Cup quarterfinal, I think, against France, which would say no, although he did score one in that game.
If you look at his record overall, he's another one where as soon as he hits the ball, it stays it. But I'd back us to be favourites in both games, no matter who we get.
I don't want to play Arsenal. Just out of out of the fact that we've already played them three times this season, I think that'd be dull. But also the fact that
it's a Premier League title contender. You don't want to be showing your hand too much there. And the games have just been, they've been interesting, they've been intriguing. If you sit down with a notepad and you go back after the fact and watch the tactical side of it. But for a football supporter, they've just been pretty dismal.
Exactly. And Bayern Munich have been poor this year by their standards. Obviously, they've practically lost the league. I think Bayern Leverkusen can win the league this weekend.
They can.
They've got everything to play for now in the Arsenal game. That is going to be their season defining moment. And to go into the second leg at home with not even a deficit, it's strictly just a straight ball game, 0-0, let's just go from the off, you've got to say advantage Bayern.
Possibly. I think that's on a knife edge. I think Arsenal are the better team at the Allianz Arena, and the fact as you just said, I think it's going to be a toss up there, but Bayern will probably be fancy themselves. But Luke, we'll call it a day there. The evening is turning into night in Valencia. We're going to go out and have some tapas and sangria and enjoy ourselves. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Mate, thank you very much, and I look forward to watching some more Champions League football tonight.
Exactly. Listeners, thank you very much for listening along. Like I said, if you haven't, you can go back and give the other episode from this week a try, the match day review. So make sure you do that. But until next time, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season running with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.